Do you feel like overwhelm is going to be the death of you? For me, it's the cause of most of my anxiety. That is until I started my stop, drop, and journal process. So today I'm going to be sharing that with you, and my hope is that it will prevent any negative self-talk that always follows overwhelm paralysis. Before we get into it, though, I want to share this review. This review is from Michelle. She says, "Thanks so much for sharing your experience with mental health, burnout, and incorporating the love for crochet into it. In a time where everyone's lives are so fast-paced, it's become so easy to fall into a pit of shame and being overwhelmed to no end. You have really helpful tips on how to slow down the chaos of life and remember to take care of yourself. Personally, I learned to crochet to pull myself out of grief after my dad passed away a few years ago. Much like your experience, it gave me something to look forward to every day. I'm looking forward to future episodes. Thank you again for putting this out into the world." Thank you, Michelle, for such a heartfelt review. I'm so glad that you found crochet in a time where you really needed it. If you felt inspired by this show or it's given you the gentle motivation to take action, I would love to hear about it. Leave me a review on Apple Podcasts and I will be forever grateful. And who knows, maybe I'll read your review next. Welcome to Crocheting Through Emotions. If you are sick of feeling exhausted, irritable, and paralyzed by overwhelm, I'm here to teach you how creativity and radical self-care will stop you from feeling stuck so you can start living a more fulfilled life. Hey friend, I'm Sigoni, yarn lover, proud introvert, and recovering anxious perfectionist. After many years of struggle, I finally realized mental health is an internal battle only we can fight our way out of. So after a complete mental breakdown, I started focusing on my needs and in the process learned a buttload about myself. Stress is a part of everyday life. The only way out is to live a little more creatively. So grab a crochet hook, a cute journal, and get comfy cozy. It's time to crochet through your emotions. I don't know if overwhelm paralysis is an actual thing. It's just what I like to call it when my brain feels like it's going to explode with the amount of tasks and thoughts that are consuming it. It sounds dramatic, but if you've ever felt this way, you understand exactly what I'm saying. Overwhelm paralysis happens when you feel stuck, when you're unable to move forward or get anything done. You sit on the couch instead of getting things done around the house. You tell yourself you're being lazy, that you're useless, and that you can never get anything done. It's when your mind and body feel completely drained, like you haven't slept in days. That's what overwhelm paralysis is to me. Anybody else? So what causes it? It can happen when you have so much on your to-do list that you don't even know where to start. It happens when you sit down to relax, but then you look around the house and remember all the things you should be doing instead. It can happen when you have too many events and things going on, like classes, activities, children's sports, and extracurriculars. It can happen when you have too many thoughts swirling around your brain caused by overthinking, medical issues, or negative self-talk. And if you have ADHD, you're even more susceptible to all of these things. So as you can see, lots of things can cause overwhelm paralysis. Aren't we lucky? And if you don't know this already, overwhelm stems from anxiety, and anxiety can cause physical symptoms as well, like insomnia, difficulty concentrating, fatigue, headaches, heart palpitations, and more. Anytime I feel this overwhelmed, these are the symptoms I battle with. And speaking of heart palpitations, here's a little story. I remember back in 2017, I was having really bad heart palpitations. I thought I was dying, like for real. I went to multiple doctors, wore a heart monitor, got an EKG, a CT scan, all the things to figure out why I was having these heart palpitations, why I felt like I had to really focus on my breathing at night to make sure I made it all the way through. Turns out, it was anxiety. Now, I have to stop a minute to say I'm not a doctor, and if you are having heart palpitations, you should definitely speak with a doctor. I'm only sharing my experience with palpitations and how it was unrelated to any heart condition. But I still have palpitations to this day when my anxiety spikes. And when I start having them, that's when I know it's time for me to take a really big step back and start reprioritizing. But today's episode isn't going to dive into all that. Anxiety is a really big topic, and I have a lot to say about it. But today we're just going to talk about anxiety that is specifically triggered by overwhelm and what I do to fight against it, which is to stop, drop, and journal. It's pretty self-explanatory, but I'll tell you my thought process behind it. There are only 4 simple steps to this process, and I really want you to promise me right now that you're going to give it a try at least once. Okay? So the next time you feel so overwhelmed that you can barely think, you have a headache, or you just feel blank, I want you to stop whatever you're doing. These days, we're always so go, go, go. Just like Michelle said in her review, it's like we're running on autopilot. When's the last time you just sat down and allowed yourself to think, or even just be? After you've stopped what you're doing, it's time to drop. Go find a quiet place to sit. It can be the couch, the kitchen table, on your bed, at the park if you feel like going all that way. My preferred place is my back porch, especially when it's a nice day. We have a set of rocking chairs and a wood table back there that I bought specifically for these moments. If you don't have a porch, sit in a comfy chair and open the shades or even the windows. Let in the natural light. Now, take a few deep breaths. Just 3. I'm not going to go all woo-woo on you here. If you feel embarrassed because someone's with you, just blame it on me. Tell them I told you to do it, and then tell them I told them that they need to join you. I want you to understand that it's okay to give yourself a few seconds to breathe. The house isn't going to fall apart if you didn't finish or if you don't finish the laundry right this second. You have plenty of time. And I bet you didn't know that not only is deep breathing great for your mental health in general, it's actually really good for your lungs. So now you have no excuse not to give it a try. So when you breathe, I want you to breathe in for 5 seconds, hold for 5 seconds, and breathe out for 5 seconds. Okay, now it's time for the fun part. Or maybe not the fun part for you yet, but it will be. And that's journaling. Go grab a notebook. I know you have one around your house. Whether it's one that you use to make grocery lists, an unused composition book that was on the school supply list last year, which, surprise, they never used. Am I the only one who deals with this, or is this a thing everywhere? At the beginning of each school year, they have us buy like 1,000 composition books, and by the end of the year, they haven't used half of them. I have at least 6 from last year in my drawers that have my son's name on them with like 2 pages filled out. So now I use them as my journals. And obviously you can go out and buy a notebook for a couple of dollars, but I'm all about using what you got. So if you got printer paper, you can use that too. Anyway, once you have your paper, sit in your spot and start writing. It doesn't have to start with "Dear Diary." You don't have to have neat handwriting, and you don't have to show it to anyone. Just write whatever's on your mind. What's overwhelming you? Why? And that's all the prompt you need, because you're just allowing the thoughts that are swallowing your brain come out. When I write, it feels like the words are physically landing on the paper, emptying my mind. And sometimes it's fun to visualize that as I write. It makes me feel even more clear. So keep writing and let your pen lead the way. If my brain doesn't feel empty, then that means I still have a lot more to write. If you've ever heard of stream of consciousness writing, that's what this is. It's where you literally just write what comes out of your brain. And at first, it might be hard to get started because you're like, what do I write? But even if that's what you're thinking, that's what you should write. So if you're thinking, I'm hungry, or man, this is really boring, I really don't want to do this, you still write all those things, because whenever you write what you're thinking, it slowly starts to turn into more and more sentences. It's kind of like magic. So make sure you do this and then you tell me what happens. And yes, that is my son in the background. I've asked him to be quiet a few times now, but it sounds like it's just not going to happen. Sometimes the act of writing will start to calm you down. Other times, you might wind up with a solution to your problem. That's happened to me on several occasions where I wasn't even trying to fix the problem. I was just writing about it. And all of a sudden, I have this revelation about what I'm struggling with. It's incredible. And personally, those are the days I know God's sitting right next to me as I write, waiting to help me work through it. Did you know writing improves problem-solving skills? It's because you're allowing yourself to slow down and think without rushing through the problem or trying to ignore it. The key is, though, to take your time. Don't rush to get through it, or you'll never give yourself the chance to let it all out. It's kind of like brain dumping, but you want to make sure you're writing in sentences, not just a to-do list. If you're stuck, take a few breaths, blink a few times, and look around. I know that sounds silly, but I've learned to really enjoy these simple moments. And whenever you're staring down at the paper, sometimes it's good to just blink a couple times and get yourself to refocus. And that just painted a really funny picture in my head. And speaking of that, at first it's going to be really hard for you to sit still. Your mind will tell you what a waste of time this is, that you have way more important things to do. But I am telling you, this is the most important thing for you right now. And if you read God's beautiful word, this might sound familiar. In Psalm 37:7, it says, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him." I like to think of my journaling time as my prayer time. I'm handing my struggles over to him in the form of a handwritten letter. And if you're not a Christian or you're unsure about your spiritual beliefs, there's another quote that I really like. It's by Ram Dass. He says, "Be still. The quieter you become, the more you will hear." Being still and journaling both improve mental clarity. They give you the opportunity to prioritize your thoughts. It helps to relieve stress, and you become closer to developing and improving your self-awareness. All right, so we're almost done with today's episode, but what are you supposed to do when you're done writing? Well, you have a few options. If it turned into a to-do list, you can do one of two things. The first one is to create an action plan. Next to each task, label each one from most important to least important. If you get one thing done, great. If you get all of the most important things done, that's fantastic. But do not beat yourself up over not completing the list. The second thing you can do is give yourself grace, especially if you see that you're clearly putting too much on yourself. Does it all have to be done right this second? Why? Is anyone actually saying you're lazy and disorganized, or is that just you? Give yourself grace. Talk to yourself like you would talk to a friend. Would you tell your friend that she needs to get her life together? Or would you tell her that it's okay that her house isn't spotless? And for some reason, if you do have to get all these things done today, ask for help, because there's no shame in that. And if you don't have help, get it all done and end your day with a fancy and fun reward, like a trip to the craft store or a random piece of cake. You deserve it. And the final thing you can do is rip it up and throw it away. This is the best option when you're writing complaints or negative self-talk, or you don't want anyone to read what you write. These are not bad things to write about. In fact, you should write about them because it's part of the process. But there's also no reason to keep this list of complaints. The act of writing is the solution, not rereading what you wrote. So rip it up and throw it away. Well, that's all, folks. If you're still here with me, thank you for hearing me out. I get real passionate when it comes to journaling, and I really hope you decide to give this a try. To recap, the best way to combat overwhelm paralysis is to stop, drop, and journal. There are so many benefits to slowing down and being still. Writing not only expresses your creativity, but it helps you problem solve and see things more clearly. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I would love to chat with you over on Instagram. Hey, before you go, if this podcast inspired, motivated, or encouraged you in some way, I would love for you to leave me a written review. That is the number one way you can thank me, and I love hearing from you. Come connect with me over on Instagram, and always remember, you can do anything, but you cannot do everything. Talk soon.